Brad Stevens is getting crushed, the GM. They obviously wanted Jaylen Brown out of the building. Jaylen Brown, I had two NBA sources tonight, two people in the league, one an executive, one a scout, say that Jaylen Brown has, it's a disease. He suddenly thinks he's the smartest guy in every room he's in.
I hate that. Like, I really do. Like, that,
what a hit jump.
Like, that is...
wonder who those scouts and executives work for.
How dare you be an educated human being? Like, that to me, like, that really pissed... You can talk a lot of trash on the guy.
He's got a disease.
Yeah, a disease.
He thinks highly of himself.
Come on, Colin Cowherd.
How dare you like yourself?
There's enough to talk trash on Jaylen Brown about. I mean, this was my favorite season. It's as bad as it gets. Which, by the way, it's Rich Ken and Ted Johnson here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Also, you can leave us a message over there on the Odyssey app by pressing the microphone button, except it's not a message for us. That is a message, of course, for Mr. Brad Stevens and the ownership group. We'll be playing those in a little bit. But to your point, all the slander that's going on about Jaylen Brown, that article about his numbers, you know, off the floor are better than when he's on the floor, that's pretty funny and it's interesting, even though my eyes have seen him be the best player during a championship run. But to your point, Stiz, a lot of people are agreeing with you, Stiz, on this statement that Jaylen Brown just released. You thought that there was a part of this that was a shot at Jason Tatum, and some of the listeners are agreeing with you. There's one line in here where he's saying goodbye. If you don't know, Jaylen Brown just released a statement on his social media. It's fairly long, but basically it's pretty, you know, like, hey, I loved being here. I'm still processing it all. And then at one point he says, saying goodbye isn't easy when you've invested your heart into something. I'm big on respect, and actions speak louder than words. To the people of Boston, thank you. To the community I built here, I love you, blah, 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 blah. But that line right there, Stiz, that's the one that you said stood out, correct?
Immediately. As you were reading that and I was reading along with you, that, you know, saying goodbye isn't easy. So he's talking about, I love Boston, man. I really loved it. My heart's here. I'm big on respect, and actions speak louder than words. To me, that's almost him, like, subliminally saying why he had to go. He wasn't feeling respected,
yep.
And actions speak louder than words.
But why Tatum? But I don't know. Why is it Tatum?
I'm not saying I didn't say who it was. It could be Tatum. It could be Brad. It could be ownership. I don't know who
I just kind of – I got to chuckle at that. I mean, part of this respect thing, and he's always wanted to – you know, he wants – something that you got to earn. Mm-hmm. You can't just demand it.
Well, yeah. You want a title.
Do you know what shows respect? Money. He's was the highest paid player in the NBA 3 years ago.
Yeah, but that's another report. They weren't going to give him the 2-year extension.
You know what? Okay, but they probably overpaid for you a few years ago, and so now you're complaining that you're not getting a 2-year extension 3 years in advance?
That's another thing that article says, is that they broke down the numbers and they say by the numbers, Tatum is the most overpaid player in the NBA.
No, Jaylen Brown is.
I'm sorry, not Tatum. Jaylen Brown. Yeah, Jaylen Brown. Yeah. Most overpaid player according to those numbers, which I can't wait to have that author on because, as I said, he should be a lawyer. Because by the time I was done reading, I'm like, yeah, man, Jaylen Brown does suck. And then I had to kind of slap myself. No.
Are they going
to
retire Jaylen Brown's number?
Ooh,
I don't think they should.
That's a good question.
Yeah,
I don't think they should.
They will.
Would you even give them like a tribute video when it comes back?
Give a tribute video. Give them a tribute video.
Ted,
talk about the disrespect.
Ted, think about, okay, put his numbers up against like KG, and KG's numbers retired.
Yeah.
So they got to. They've got to do that. But that's a great question because it also depends on how he left the organization. Because one could argue, is Ray Allen's not retired, right?
No.
Yeah, but Ray Allen... You know, his numbers are
it'll get retired.
Big.
I'm not sure he deserves, but there's probably 3 or 4 to 5 to 6 Celtics players that have their numbers retired that probably don't deserve
that. That's true. I think we all agree on that. Let's go to Mark on line one. Mark, what's happening, man? How's it going?
Hey, I just wanted to say, like, there's no reason to do this trade right now. Like, I feel like they rushed it because of JT's ego and Brad's ego. Like, JT's always been fragile. Like, he always wants to be Finals MVP. He always wants to be the guy. And honestly, I think Brad probably heard some of those comments about Gordon Hayward back in 2019 and how Jaylen Brown had that interview where he laughed at the fact that Brad had this favoritism. And, you know, I feel like they just wanted him out of the building.
Oh, that's
like,
true.
There was no reason to do it right
Mark,
now.
Mark, it's such a good point. There was one Jaylen video where he's – Brad Stevens' name comes up and they're all laughing at him. They don't come out and say it. It's Jalen and a bunch of his buddies, and they all start cracking up, right? Like them at the Brad Stevens name mention. And I do wonder, and you think about this, you allowed Philly by trading him now to build an entire powerhouse around him. They just signed Simons. I just saw somebody say that LeBron would have no trouble playing with Jalen.
Yeah.
All that stuff about Bron, he's water under the dam.
I read that too.
So, like, why not wait a month and let Philly figure out what they're doing, you know, screw up their whole offseason plan? You just laid out the red carpet for them.
Was the story getting too big? Was the story just getting – it was just – that it was kind of too – there's just too much stress, too much – I don't know. Too many people talking about it. They just said, you know what, screw it. Let's just end this now and get it done.
I think they were leaning towards getting rid of him anyway because of the money. It sure does sound that way. I do believe that they were like, we'll pay for Giannis because that seems like a recipe for a championship. But if you don't get Giannis, we got to get rid of Jaylen Brown because the two of you aren't working together without any other big kind of trade. But I believe, I'm sorry, just to answer your question, I believe that that extra stuff made it easier to make that decision.
Okay. If you theoretically thinking, if you wait till August, do you think you're going to get a better or worse deal if you wait longer?
I don't see it get much worse than what they got.
But I don't think you think it's going to get, usually it doesn't get better the longer you wait. That's the only thing. I mean, can you imagine doing trades in the NFL offseason, in late, June versus, in May? It's the big, that's a big difference.
Does this remind you of the Bledsoe trade in the division?
Yes.
Because I think that's fascinating, Rich.
Yes.
They would just send them to the Sixers who just beat you. Yep. They're in your division.
Yep. That tells you that they had zero problem, that they know Jalen's weaknesses, they know exactly why they're giving him up, and that they have no problem giving them to Philly, who they play four times a year and is in their division. They're not worried about Jaylen Brown on that team because they feel like they know, like, just like Belichick had no problem trading Bledsoe to Buffalo. Yeah, I know how to defend him. We got this.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Paul in Abington. What's up, Paul? How's it going?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I got a question for Ted, but my first point I just mentioned to the guy taking the calls. And I'm in my 50s. I don't know what's more – I don't know if the word disappointment is big, but Larry Bird winning only three titles or Jason and Jalen only winning one. All this hype, everything else included. You know, I know they had whatever it's been 8 or 9 years together, but and great they won one in the 8 years. But it's just the fact that all that hoopla, everything else that – you know, and listen, they were missing pieces. They needed other things. 24 worked out with the health of Kristaps at the time, even though he didn't, really make it through the finals. But, having Holiday and all the other pieces included. But my question to Ted, being a former athlete, I'm going to go back to when the whole talk was going on about possibility of Giannis and Brown being traded, is that when you're a player and you hear your name brought up in numerous trade conversations, even go back to Kevin Durant and then Giannis, do players – I would like to believe that players must sit there and think, man, I'm involved in a lot of trade talks. That's great for my well-being, I guess, is the best way to put it, best thing I can think of. We all know it's a business. No matter what happens in life, Brown gets traded. Who knows when Tate, if he stays here the rest of his career or not. But it's all ultimately a business. And I know that when Chisholm bought this team 2 years ago, or just under 2 years, I said to myself, I go, I have a hard time believing that he's going to keep Brown and Tatum together.
He yeah, Paul, well. it's weird too because when you take a look at the what's truly running this team, like this ownership setup is now we're starting to learn that it's not just he's the face of it. It's like Bill Chisholm's the face of it,
but it's handpicked to be the face.
Handpicked to be the face, but it's this private equity group, the Sixth Street Private Equity Group,
that has the real power.
They're the real power, and if you run a team like an equity group. Unfortunately, winning isn't your priority. It's making money. And it's also, the private equity way is cost-cutting. That is right out of the private equity playbook. And if you take a look at what they did, there isn't a lot, there isn't a huge difference in the value of your organization when you win a championship and when you don't win a championship if you do it cost-effectively. And they're looking at the bottom line. That's why you're not going to see any kind of team that has a private equity that is attached to it or is making the decisions at least, extending players for a long amount of time, because they would just assume put together a quality team that sells tickets but isn't expensive and doesn't do like what Wick did, where they went all in.
The money they spent for that was insane. They did have some private equity because Steve Pagliuca was with Bain Capital, which was a private equity firm. It's not like they didn't have any private equity behind them, but for whatever reason, it just seemed like Wick was so passionate. And I think Pags, too, to a point. You kind of think back and like, man, I wish Pags had won the deal. He was pissed they didn't give it to him. Yep. Remember? Mm-hmm. He thought he had the best offer.
Absolutely. All right. 617-779-7937. By the way, there are some people who think this is a good idea. This is a good trade, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Well, they're going to love our guest at 4 o'clock. He's the one who wrote that article that was all about how Jaylen Brown really isn't any good at all. And as I said, by the
should
time.
Be in the G League.
It's a great article. I told Ted when he sent it to me, I'm like, this is a really well-written article. Mm-hmm. If I ever get in trouble with the law, I'm hiring this guy. He had me believing. And then I snapped out of it. It was like under like a spell. But we will have him on at 4 o'clock and take your calls as well. Not going anywhere. Back in 2 minutes. Oh, yeah. 937 WEEI. Rich, certainly. Ken Laird. Three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And calls to 617-779-7937. Real quick.
What are you eating? Give me your red card for that.
I know. It was an awful... I took a bite, like, literally right before we went on. It's it's meat stick o'clock. So
not during the two-minute break.
I didn't realize it was the two-minute break, so now I got to pick this stuff out of my teeth. But I do want to go real quick to Matt, because Matt, he is one of the rare people, although I don't want to say too rare, actually, Ted, when you brought up that article, there's some people who agree with it. Matt, you seem to like the trade, huh?
I do. I do think that we could have got more out of it. But at the same time, have you ever worked at a place? I'm sure this has never happened to you guys in radio, but somebody gets a promotion and they might deserve the job. But once they get it, they're the most toxic person ever once they have that power. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he got in that position once he was the man in charge with Tatum injured. And the minute Tatum got back, he got butthurt, for lack of better words.
he got toxic.
Right, he ended up getting toxic. You know, I don't know. Like, that part of it, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I just know what he has said, and he said that it was his favorite season when Tatum was hurt.
He does seem composed, though, as Jaylen. Like, when you think of Jaylen Brown, yes, he's on Twitch. Yes, he's, like, he's saying things. But he's not, like, unhinged. I would be shocked if we get a story about it.
He is unhinged. He is picking fights with Stephen A. Smith. Yeah. Like, that's unhinged.
But even his fights are not that. They're hinged. You said yourself. You got in front of his face, and he was, like, very hinged.
Well, he's unhinged when he's not talking to him face-to-face. But, I mean, the fact that we got to the point where he's picking fights with the, like, number one sportscaster in the country and wants to debate him and wears these State Your Source shirts and has songs like Just Do It about Nike, but it's not about Nike, but he wants you to think it's about Nike. Yeah, that's
so
fairly unhinged.
So you think it's possible he was toxic, to use the college
toxic
word?
Toxic is not the word I would use. I would say that he made some bad choices when it came to the things he said about his things he said that could have been implied to be about his teammates.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't call it toxic, but I would say counterproductive. I don't think his actions are helping the Celtics win basketball games. Yeah. That's how I would put it. I would toxic unhinged is too much because, you know, unhinged is like losing your temper. But for Jaylen Brown, his behavior was. It almost feels like it's unhinged because he's usually so neutral and chill. And for him to constantly be going on Twitter defending himself, it feels like it's his version of being unhinged.
Absolutely.
How many more Ted heads do you think we'll get that support the Ted Johnson analytics department of Jaylen Brown wasn't that good and this is not a bad trade?
There's some people texting who are on Ted's side. Not Ted's side, but just on the side of the trade.
But you know, Perk has said this is the dumbest trade in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, I think he's going to be proven wrong on that. I do.
The dumbest, worse than the Luka trade.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't understand that. Is JB even close to being in the same stratosphere? As I know you didn't get much in return, but to compare Jaylen Brown to Luka.
He beat him in the NBA Finals head-to-head. They were both.
Oh, God. That's,
he was sixth in the NBA MVP voting this year.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody said.
And you got Anthony Davis back, who's 32. Paul George is like 50.
Yeah.
This is hilarious. Yeah. Usually I disagree with Ted. Now he's the only one in the station who's making any sense today.
Ted head.
Then someone put Jaylen Brown can't even dribble. He sucks. You know what, though? I know that today you've got a lot to say, and you want to say it to ownership. So we happen to have their voicemail ready to go. And you have left messages over there in the Odyssey app. pressing the microphone button. You can continue to do that. We'll be playing your messages all day. Let's go to the voicemail to the management and ownership of the Boston Celtics.
Hey, this is Brad.
I'm Bill.
And the Sixth Street Private Equity Group.
Leave a message after the beep.
Let's go, Paul George.
All right, let's empty the voicemail box, shall we? Let's go to voicemail number one.
Bill Chisholm, you lion sack. This guy needs to have his ass booed off the court at a building that he wishes was his. They should have Chisholm suck chants all season long. This guy should not want to creep an inch back into the garden. This does not have Brad's fingerprints on it. I'm afraid Brad looks like he got forced into making this move. And then you go back at the Giannis thing. Brad had the deal ready to go. If I was Brad, I'd be taking my handkerchief. I'd grab a twig. I'd tie up the stuff in my desk and I would hit town because his reputation is going to get smushed like Bill Chisholm should get smushed anytime he comes into the garden. Oh, I'm pissed.
Yeah, now he's
this is crazy. Yeah. I mean, Dream Team, you never hear people talk like this about about the Celtics.
It's all different now.
This is insane.
Well, this is Mookie Betts-esque. This is in that vein. It really is. It's not as bad. In hindsight, I kind of defended that one because I thought Mookie didn't want to sign here. However, when you look back on it, and it's Jeter Downs, Connor Wong, and Alex Verdugo,
that's George. Worse.
No, but at least Paul George, if he was 5 years ago, could still play. And it did play. Ted's not wrong. He did outplay Jalen in the series.
Yeah, then what happened in the next series?
Right. Yeah, no, they got their ass beat.
He just got off of a drug suspension. 25 games. He barely plays.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next one, shall we?
Brad Stevens can do no wrong. Brad Stevens can do no wrong. Brad Stevens can do no wrong. But this trade is terrible. He's done some wrong.
What was that, too? What was the... I don't think I know that.
Dude. I don't know, but it's jazzy. I like it. Just like there's a Fresh Prince in the background. Good call.
Nice job, Stiz.
Good call, Stiz. All right, let's go to the next voicemail.
Brad, I don't know what hurts more, Jaylen Brown getting traded or that Congolese goalkeeper yesterday taking a shot to the nuts.
Oh, I missed that.
I missed that. Yeah,
no.
That.
In the English match.
I did not see that.
Whatever it takes, baby.
I did see, I was at they had a street. I love these World Cup street parties that they have, and there was one at Downtown Crossing yesterday.
Oh, it was packed there.
It was absolutely packed, and I got there right when the red card came out, and that was BS. That was some. All I know is that when Taylor Twellman says it's BS, he knows more about soccer than I'll ever know.
Yeah, but he's a homer, though. I would like to know from, like, a British, somebody with an accent soccer fan, whether that's legit or not.
So I saw somebody side-by-side take a picture of the red card yesterday and something Messi did earlier in the tournament, and Messi got away with it, and our guy did not.
And they're not supposed to use the VAR or whatever for deciding whether or not it's red card. You're not supposed to slow it down frame by frame and then decide, but that they did. The announcers thought, okay, it was warranted a yellow card, but not a red card, is what the broadcaster said.
Yeah, I have no idea, but it looks bad in that picture. Like, he's stepping right on his foot. He could have, you know, as far as soccer injuries go, that could be like a legit injury.
But he's not, but he wasn't, he was looking at the ball at the time, though, you know, and even Messi, I think, was looking down, you know, like, Messi's was way worse. Listen, looking at me like I know what I'm talking about when it comes to soccer. I watched like 5 minutes of a guy talking about it. I'm literally spitting out exactly what he said.
We're a man down and still won the game.
Yeah, not bad. You know? Not bad. It's gonna be, from what I hear, it's gonna be tough though against
Belgium.
Yeah, should be tough. All right, let's go to the next one, shall we?
Thank you very much, Brad Stevens and the Celtics ownership group. If I find the elixir of life, you'll be the first person I send it to. Sincerely, a Sixers fan in Boston.
I mean, they're elated. So
have we heard much from Philly? Are they loving this
jacked
deal?
Up. They just signed Simons. They're going after LeBron.
Apparently came out and said that he couldn't believe they did the trade, that the Celtics did the trade.
Right. Yes.
Dude.
They was reported that someone said that from the ownership group. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'll tell you this. This better light Tatum's ass. I mean, he better have an unbelievable year. Like, win 60 regular season games, play every night, give his max, and just... I hope he takes this and fuels him to the next level.
No hiding now. Right, as I said, you better be good and healthy.
For Jaylen Brown either, though. There's just as much on Jaylen Brown. I'd like to see how he does in Philly, too.
He's got a good supporting cast,
He's got Maxie around him, man.
Right. And Edgecombe.
If they would end up getting Maxie in that deal, I'd be like, oh, and Edgecombe, too? I would have been like, listen,
you know what would have been the hard thing to pill to swallow with Brad is you originally asked for Edgecombe, is the report.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, we're... I guess I'll just take Paul then.
Sure, give me the old guy that up until yesterday, there were reports that the Sixers would have had to given a pick to a team to take him off their hands in that contract. Let's go to the next one, shall we?
I'm the only guy I know who doesn't hate this trade. When the word came out that it was going to cost Ugo on top of Jalen to get Giannis, I didn't want that to happen. It was going to hurt me more to lose Ugo than to lose Jalen. Yeah. So in Brad we trust. Yeah. Listen, I'm still there. I'm still there. I'm looking forward to the season. I want to see how it goes in Jason and in Brad we trust.
There you go. There's, you know, guys speaking clearly, succinctly.
Ugo, how are his analytics?
He's on Ugo Island right now. What was his plus minus?
I gotta look that up. But he, dude, there's a lot of upside with Ugo. A lot of upside.
I hope so, because they blew a Giannis trade to not give him up. Well, I guess we're hearing that's not the case, though, now. I guess it's all about the third year.
According
to
Simmons, it was not about Ugo. It was about the money.
Okay.
Beyond 2 years.
That's still, that's
Forget my ignorance. Did Miami give the three-year extension that Giannis wanted?
I don't think they have yet, but I don't think you can yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure behind the scenes they've discussed that.
Right, okay.
All right, let's play one more, and then we'll roll it.
Hey, who's going to fire the first shot in the 76ers Alpha War?
In the Alpha War?
Well.
Oh, it's Embiid. Embiid's the Alpha.
Okay. Who's the second Alpha?
Maxi.
Wow, JB, he went from the second dog, like, you know, big dog, to the third, huh?
Maxi is loved.
They're all good.
In Philly. Loved.
And don't forget, Jaylen Brown was on his Twitch talking crap about Embiid.
He was.
Flopping. He did say Embiid cooked us. Like, I think they get along.
I think that now, you see this happen all the time where people talk trash to each other and then they're on the same team and all of a sudden they're fine.
Does Philly give the extension to JB?
Yep.
Oh, I'm guessing no.
Dude, that's $70 million a year. Yeah. Dude, there's no way. I guarantee
they
will.
Last Mannix.
Yeah, well, Mannix is going to be on with us, and so is Tom Haberstroh, the one who wrote that article about that. That I guess
I'm so excited to hear from a guy I've never heard of, Tom Haberstroh.
But it's a great article, he puts in there that, I mean, he intimates that
hit piece.
The 200th best player in the league.
It's not opinions. It's all facts.
It's all facts. It's all numbers. Facts. Numbers.
Can't
all
dispute
right.
it.
617-779-7937. By the way, you can leave a message, of course, for the Brad Stevens and the ownership group over there on the Odyssey app. The Causeway Command Center by pressing that microphone button on the Odyssey app and leaving those there, and we will play them later on the show. And we will be back and taking your call. 617-779-7937.
Hey, this is Brad.
I'm Bill.
And the Sixth Street Private Equity Group.
Leave a message after the beep.
Let's go, Paul George.
This is the league speculation. It's not reporting, but I don't dispute it, is that this was a trade that was made under duress. This was not a trade that you would make in a clinical setting. You know, there's no deadline. Didn't have to do it by the end of July 1st. That you wouldn't do this trade under these circumstances if everything was equal, that something wasn't equal. We'll see what gets said about it. But that's been the multiple person reaction from the executives.
Wow.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shirton Leave, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. I'm going to readily admit I don't understand what that means.
Under duress?
I think I have an idea.
Like, this was a trade made under duress.
Yep.
That obviously means that they had to do it because something was wrong, something was rotten. And I can't tell whether that means the rotten was that they had a problem with Jaylen Brown's attitude, or Jason Tatum didn't like it, or is it as simple as they didn't want to spend that money?
Perk said Brad was in his feelings. That's the way he described it. Now, Perk obviously has some strange feelings about the Celtics these days. They didn't let him back on the parade boat, whatever. But do you think that's it? There was something going on there where Brad was so he's spinning out of control after the Giannis thing fell apart.
Can I hear this Perk thing that you're talking about?
There are two parts of this. I love this suggestion of where they do next. Do you want to hear that one, or do you want to hear the original Perk thing about just ripping the organization?
Stiz, you just play what's up there. I want to hear
a little of both. So this was the original Perk that we loved.
But at the end of the day, if you're Brad Stevens, to me, he had already lost when he lost the Giannis sweepstakes to the Miami Heat. If you're going to jump off the porch and you're going to make Jaylen Brown available, you got to make sure you pencil in that deal. This is nothing but sloppy seconds, in my opinion. And in the way I see it, he just basically handed the Philadelphia 76ers a trip to the NBA Finals.
Oh, Kirk, I love you, bro.
He is a man and speaks in absolutes, baby.
That is awesome.
Right now, the odds.
So true. I'll take a piece of that.
The odds have them as the fourth best team right now in the East, the 76ers.
Use my code, Ken.
Behind Celtics?
Behind the Celtics and the Knicks and the Heat.
Okay. There is a chance that everything could implode in Philly. I mean, think of the pieces that are there.
It's a loser franchise.
Not only is it a loser franchise, but you got Embiid, who is known to kind of implode.
Oh, yeah. It was his greatest year ever after they got knocked out by the Knicks.
Exactly. It's the Sixers. And you also have Jaylen Brown, who we saw just recently implode. So, I mean,
not everybody rowing in the same direction, maybe.
You're right. And the only guy that I have any kind of confidence in on that team is Maxey.
Edgecombe, I think, is going to be a stud, too.
And Edgecombe's good, too.
And now they got Simons. He's a scorer.
Sure. Yeah. But you're right. That's a loser franchise.
It is.
And that stink, it's tough to get off you sometimes.
Okay, now how about Perks? Perks is a solutions guy, okay? I love this. This is the next step. Don't settle for Paul George because he shoots too many threes, Ted. You would admit, even though you don't like Jaylen, we get that. You think he's overrated, and dramatically so.
The numbers would say so.
Okay, but how about this next move from Perk?
Brad Stevens has to fix this. The only way that he has to fix, the only way he can fix it, is by continuing to be aggressive in this market right now. Like, this is not enough. I will call the Wizards. Shams, you could tell me if I'm wrong, but if I'm Brad Stevens, I'm calling the Washington Wizards. I'm calling Rich Paul to see what's happening with Anthony Davis. Like, you know what I mean? You got to make another move. This can't stop right here. There's no way in hell you could justify and ratify giving up Jaylen Brown for Paul George. No way in hell. I'm not buying it, and the Celtics fan base is not buying it.
All my dreams from, like, 7 years ago are coming true. When I wanted them to get Anthony Davis so bad and Paul George.
But he's 4 years younger than Paul George. Anthony Davis is 32. He is a young pup. Go get Anthony Davis.
We just got Mitchell Robinson.
That's a great rotation. One-two punch. That's a two-man big man.
I know they're a little bit different, but okay. I mean, yeah. That would be insane. Are you kidding me? Anthony Davis?
Yeah, Anthony Davis, I'd be like, okay, let's go. Good move.
Now, he's got 1 year left on his deal and then an option year. And the Wizards are talking about, we're not trading him right now. We want to extend him. We want him because obviously they just got a high draft pick. DeBonce is in there and everything else. But it would seem like if you have all these picks to trade, now you have 8 first-round picks, Brad. 5 of them that you can deal, and you get the Paul George contract, whatever. The Wizards probably want a lot of first-round picks. Go get Anthony Davis. What's wrong with that deal?
All I know is that there's a bunch of people saying that Ugo Jordan better be ball out because they ended up losing Giannis over him.
Ugo
Gonzalez, which, by the way, Ugo Gonzalez in Spain today, 16 points, 5
Let's
assists,
go.
5 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block,
nice.
5 for 9. I
mean,
you guys are missing, like, who this really opens things up for. You guys know who this really now...
Chisholm's pocketbook.
No. What player does this clear the pathway for to now show what he's fully capable of?
Baylor Shireman.
Peyton Pritchard. Mm. Peyton Pritchard.
He's already shown you what he can do. You think he's got more?
But as a full-time starter now. And with Jaylen Brown off the team, he's unbelievable.
I am on a text chain with my friends right now, and the whole thing is about how Hardwood Houdini has been writing about how that Peyton Pritchard is supposed to be the new Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even in that article that of the guy we're going to have on, the one who talks about, you know, how Jaylen Brown's not very good. This seems to be like a talking point that got shot out to all of the NBA media. Mm-hmm. That Peyton Pritchard is the next Jaylen. What are you smoking? He is not anywhere near Jaylen Brunson.
We need to relax.
Oh, my God. Like, people are... Jaylen Brunson is honestly one of the more clutch players that I've seen in this league in the last, like, 10 years. Peyton Pritchard is a very good player. I am not knocking his game. He's no effing Jaylen Brunson.
Well, this is the problem. You're putting untold pressure on these guys.
Can it be a much cheaper version of a somewhat poor man's Jaylen Brown, though? Not Jaylen Brunson, but, I mean, Pritchard, look, he had his career highs last year in points. He was he's one of the best isolation players in the NBA.
if you had both of them standing here.
He's not a defensive liability like a lot of people think. He averaged 25.
Who would you take for your pickup
team? In 10 games last year without Brown in uniform, Pritchard averaged 25.7 assists and 4.8 rebounds while shooting 53% on twos, 44% on threes.
This is so great.
They went 8-2 in games without Jalen Brown dressed.
Now we're just disrespecting Jalen.
The article
it's facts. I'm not giving you opinion. I'm reading you facts, and you're disputing the facts. I don't get it. How can you argue with this article?
This article says, is Pritchard a mini Jalen Brunson? For much of last season, with Tatum rehabbing, Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla let Brown cook in a spaced-out offense. He plays fourth in scoring and first in two-point attempts per game with an old-school shot profile, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, Brown worked well as an innings eater for the Celtics offense, but the issue for Brown's impact was that he wasn't the best isolation scorer on his own team. That would be Peyton Pritchard.
Yep.
Standing at just 6'1", Pritchard has developed into one of the premier scoring guards in the league. After winning Sixth Man of the Year in 25, Pritchard took another step forward and recorded career highs in both points, assists, and rebounds. Simply put, he was a monster in isolation actions. On those one-on-one plays last season, Pritchard posted a 57.7 effective field goal percentage, which ranked second among 63 players with at least 100 isolation plays.
Wow.
The Celtics trading Brown is a bet that Pritchard is their in-house version of New York Knicks guard Jalen Brunson.
Shot to the heart! Wasn't there somebody that said the Celtics feel like Derek White had the best year last year?
So that was Windhorst. So that's one of the big reports that came out of it, is that Windhorst reported that the Celtics believe that while Jalen Brown was talking about himself for MVP. Here, actually, you have the clip right here. Let's let it roll.
I just know that the Celtics felt that even though Jalen Brown was talking about himself for MVP, or there was this MVP campaign for Jalen Brown, the Celtics did not feel that Jalen had the best season on their team. And I don't mean Jason Tatum. I'm talking about they felt that Derek White had a better season.
Despite the fact he had a poor shooting season.
I agree.
But they felt he impacted winning the most.
And the statistics that people used to analyze.
Yeah, on off and whatnot.
Said that.
All right, let's go to Tony on line three.
That's just ridiculous.
Tony, what's happening? How you doing?
Yes, I just want to say that the regular season of the NBA is garbage, okay? Peyton Pritchard, you're putting him in the Hall of Fame. In the playoffs, he comes up zero. He's invisible in the playoffs. He stinks in the playoffs. Brad Stevens right now, it's like the famous line from the movie Moneyball. You're going to replace Giambi with three defective players. They got three guys that can't play back-to-back games. Mitchell Robinson can only play 10 minutes a game every other game. Mike Conley's over the hill. And Paul George is basically in the back nine. So, you know, basically, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what his plan is.
Well, Tony, I love your call, but to say that Peyton Pritchard's not good in the playoffs, I mean, the year they won the championship,
he's terrible.
Excellent.
He's terrible in the playoffs. I guess so.
Well, I mean, listen, in the playoffs, he made some big shots. Remember that halftime shot over in the finals?
He's always good at those at the end of the
game. Yeah, he loves those.
So who was good in the playoffs, though? Because JB was very good.
He didn't finish well, that's for sure.
Yeah, he had 33 points in Game 7, but he was a minus 16 in the 40 minutes that he played. And the time that he was on the bench, the Celtics outscored the Sixers 21-14. So they were better with him on the bench than they were with him on the floor.
It is so funny because that's truly been, like, my text chain. Is the whole thing is, like, people have got, like, they're putting Peyton Pritchard's head on Michael Jordan and everything. And, like, I mean, the fact that now everyone's trying, it is a talking point that he's the next Jalen Brunson. Which, Peyton Pritchard is a very good player. You're not going to hear me slander him at all. He is nowhere near Jalen Brunson. Nowhere near. Like, could you ever see a situation where Peyton Pritchard takes over, like, being down 20 in the playoffs with, like, 3 minutes left or 5 minutes left, like, the way that Jalen Brunson, could you ever see him doing something like that?
I could, yeah. I could.
Luka Garza? He's probably great plus minus. That's probably the next Jordan.
I don't know how you can just dismiss it. He's the guy that shoots the long shots right before the quarters and halves. I mean, that's pressure. That's clutch. He's never been given the opportunity because of the Jay brothers. So how do we know he can't do that?
I mean, you may be right. Like, as far as them giving him an opportunity to really show what he can do, and I hope that a year from now, I'm sitting here saying, boy, I couldn't have been more wrong. Maybe he is the next Jalen Brunson. But anytime anyone compares somebody to, honestly, like, one of the most clutch players that I have seen in a long, long time, what I saw during those playoffs was just special. Like, special. felt rare watching a guy to be able to do that. It's a lot to ask. It's a tall ask, and sometimes in Hot Takeville, people tend to do that. But we'll have that author on in a few minutes. As a matter of fact, we're going to have him on in about 15 minutes. His name is Tom Haberstroh. He's the one who wrote that article about how Jaylen Brown truly isn't that good of a player, and he backs it up with a ton of stats that are really tough to argue. As I said, it's if you're a Celtics fan, you're going to have a little bit of a like an identity crisis. Do I like Jaylen Brown? Am I glad he's gone after you read this? But we will get to
unless
that.
Unless you watch the season with your own two eyes.
That's what I said. You know, like my own two eyes deceive me after I read that article. All right, we'll take your call. 617-779-7935. It's 937-WEEI. We are broadcasting from the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win, and it is Rich Shirtley, Ken Laird, and Ted Johnson. Real quick, before we take some of these calls about how pissed people are about this trade, the NBA did announce something that I think is awesome.
Oh, this is cool.
So this is something that's going to be going on in the summer leagues, and they're testing it out to see if they want to end up making it official. But it is called the one free throw rule. It's going to be tested. With this rule, any foul that would typically result in a 1, 2, or 3 free throw situation under standard NBA rules instead will result in a single free throw attempt. And that attempt will be worth the same number of points as the free throws that it replaces. So that means if you get fouled at the 3-point line, instead of taking 3 free throws, you take 1, but it's worth 3 points.
I hate that.
I love
Why?
That.
Why?
It speeds the game up.
Totally.
You watch an NBA game and go, I wish the game would be faster, though?
Yes. Oh, my God. The end of games where you're fouling people and they're going to the free throw line?
Hold on. At the end of games, in the last 2 minutes, it doesn't change.
Okay. Well, either way, I just hate when you're sitting taking too long at the free throw line. Yeah. Like, if somebody gets fouled and it's 2 free throws, just make it 1, but make it worth 2 points.
The worst thing in sports is the dap. The guy that makes the free throw or misses has to handshake his whole team between free throws.
I agree.
That eliminates the entire game, and it's awesome.
I love that. And like 3 free throws at the 3-point line, just make 1.
But sometimes games are decided by like a single free throw.
A lot of
but
drama but again,
in taken the, out. In the last 2 minutes, it goes back to the original rules.
That sounds just, overthinking it. I haven't heard one person ever say NBA games were too long in the first 3 quarters.
Maybe you don't notice it, but it's when you're sitting there watching 3 free throws on a fouled 3-point shot.
There's not a lot of fouls on 3 throws. I'm sorry. That's all.
You ever seen the players who do the ghost high fives? Mm-hmm. Like they'll high five people who aren't there because that's part of the little thing that's got to be in their head in order for them to make free throws. Like it's, you know, like golfers have the little wag that they do before they get up there. Yeah. I've seen like guys who shoot free throws and they will air high five people and get back.
What's next? You don't want, girls volleyball after every point, they all come together and hug and.
You probably want that to be outlawed.
And you know
too.
What? Get rid of 2 timeouts. That's all. I want less timeouts and I want less free throws.
Huh. Zola will love that. He never takes them anyway.
I know. Damn. Absolutely.
That is so weird. Uh-huh. All right.
See, I actually like that. I'm a fan. Nope. But let's go to Todd online 2. Todd, what's happening?
Hey, Todd.
Oh, how are you, folks? I'll tell you, I don't know what to make of this.
It stinks.
I've been watching the Celtics since I was 10 and a half years old, the first time I started watching them. And I can't believe it. I'm almost wondering if it's time to back out because I have a bad feeling about this private equity era that's coming in. I just happened to research a little while ago on my phone. It's becoming more and more of a thing. It's not only are the Celtics involved, but they mentioned the Warriors. They mentioned the Sixers.
Yep. Yeah. It's a thing. And it's getting to the point, too, where I believe 16 of the teams, I looked it up, I think 16 of the teams have some sort of private equity that either teams up with an owner or is some face of
the franchise. Right? Yes. They pick a guy to be the face of the franchise.
Just like in this case, according to reports, Bill Chisholm's the face of it. Yeah. And it's not good because the way that private equity makes money is by cutting costs. And winning is not a priority. Making money is a priority, and you can make a lot of money not winning. Not winning a championship. It's all about the margins. Yeah. And it's not about extending contracts of players that you know are good. Right. It's just about, can we make this team just cheap enough to where the ticket prices remain the same or gradually increase? And it doesn't, and you know what? Maybe the price can go up 2-3% more if you win a championship in relation to how much your team costs. And that's not to them. It's all about it's about cutting costs. And that's not a good way to
get more efficient and streamlining, get more nerds and analytics. It's it's kind of the rest. The trend is you move on from the expensive star. You shift the conversation to, you know, it wasn't a good person, you know, fit or whatever. And then fans are told to wait because another big move is coming, and then payroll comes down. Boom. That's the formula.
Now, one thing, so it's hard to, you can't say definitively this is about money, except that Ted's theory is that you're going to be easier to get out from under Paul George after 1 year, even though he's got a player option. Yep. So you think that will happen. Next year they'll move him.
That's my guess. Because don't they have two or three more years before they need to have 2 years under the...
Well, see, I think that's part of it, too. There was some theory that they would be, this would be the second year under the tax, and they would be able, they'd be freed up next year to do a lot of things. But right now, they have the same.
I was going to say, Paul George is making pretty much the same what JB's making.
Right. So that's not like they're cheaping out short term, really.
No, I know, no. But
Jalen
want
Brown's was a 3 year deal.
Yes.
And Paul George is a 2 year deal, theoretically. So
and there's no way that they would have extended. They're not gonna extend Paul George. Everyone knows that.
So it's very Red Sox like in the sense that they're not signing guys in their 30s to long term deals.
That sucks.
And the Celtics are now not signing guys in their 30s to long term deals.
Nope. It's bad news. And I don't think the NFL allows private equity firms to take over ownership, right? I think there's some sort of rule where NFL teams. They're not down with that.
Didn't the Crafts just sell a bunch of some of their shares to the private equity?
But if they did, I don't think it's anywhere near the percentage that the NBA allows. I think the NBA allows a little bit more of an influence. Okay, real quick, I do want to read this because about an hour ago, Jaylen Brown came out with a statement on his social media. And I'll read it one more time if you've not heard it. It says, first and foremost, thank you to the Most High. Even in the midst of adversity, I am here with gratitude. I'm still processing how this all went down. I'm excited and disappointed at the same time. I earn my respect from this city. I never asked for shortcuts or special treatment. I simply showed up every day, put my head down, and accepted every challenge. The relationships I built here, the battles we fought together, the championships we brought to this city, and the connection I shared with the fans, I'll carry on with me. Saying goodbye isn't easy when you're invested when you've invested your heart into something. I'm big on respect, and actions speak louder than words. To the people of Boston, thank you. To the community I built here, I love you. And to all the shifters, we are locked in for life. As one chapter closes, another begins. I'm excited for what's ahead and grateful for the opportunity to join Philadelphia. Every city has its own identity, its own passion, and its own expectation. I respect that, and I'm looking forward to earning that respect. The only way I know how, through the work, Philly, hashtag throw the ball up, let's get it. And Stiz pointed out that he believes that there's a part of that that seems to be somewhat of a shot at Jason Tatum. Saying where he says, I'm big on respect and actions speak louder than words.
I think that's more just a shot at the Celtics
organization.
That's what
I think, too. I mean, that's the Celtics.
I'm sorry. I guess the Celtics. But it is interesting. People are now pointing out that he doesn't thank the Celtics at all.
Thanks well, why the city. Yeah. Thanks the community. And nothing to teammates, organization.
I mean, he's pissed at them. That's clear. Especially in the last 2 weeks.
Do you think he's really that upset that he's out of here? Do you think he's that broken up about
it? They gave him the middle finger for several weeks in a row here. I mean, they really did.
He's been asking for this.
All right, if you're Jaylen Brown, think of this. You're somebody that every offseason your name is mentioned in trades. So that's got to piss you off a little bit, too. Second of all, you just got traded, which is against your will. You wanted to stay here, according to all reports, and they traded you. On top of that, this whole thing you just went through, all it did was make people rip on your value for the last, week. You made it abundantly clear by your failed trades with Giannis. That got all these people writing all these pieces about how you aren't valuable. It got all, things leaked out about what they were offering for you, and it was garbage. So, I'd be a little pissed,
too. You're on Twitch stream, you're acting in a way that makes you more, understandably wanting to be traded, I think.
I guess.
Well,
yes,
action from Brad. Jaylen, we love you. We love you. You're a huge part of this. Yeah. And he found out that they were not going to give him that extension.
It's giving him an extension 3 years in advance before they had to is not – if that's how you value being respected and loved, then, bro – Good luck. Good luck getting your extension anywhere else out there, too, bro.
It sure doesn't seem like it's going to happen after what we've heard over the last couple of days. All right. I've been really looking forward to talking to this next guest. Tom Haberstroh from Yahoo Sports. He wrote an article that's going around right now, and it is essentially using, I mean, like the most highly researched numbers and stats where he goes on, and it is a pretty good like length article, and he breaks down why Jaylen Brown isn't very good. And man, by the time I was done reading it, I was like, dude, maybe he's got a point. We will get to that, and he'll be on with us in just 2 minutes.